Are you ready?
Oh yeah! It's still real to me, damn it! Barack Leisner!
I knew you'd come. Awesome!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to SNS here on TVK Magazine and TVKRadio.com. My name is Richard. No one is joining me today because, well, everyone has a life outside pro wrestling except for me, apparently. No, that's not the case, everybody. Ashley is working. Phil is doing it, but Phil is working hard too. Phil texted me on Wednesday night though and was super freaking excited for AEW. I will talk about that later. What a great time to be a wrestling fan. Who would have thunk in 2019 that we would be flipping channels between USA and TNT for wrestling in prime time again? Not this guy, but here we are almost 20 years later, 18 years later. And NXT and AEW going head-to-head on Wednesday night. Absolutely the biggest story of the week. There is no denying it. There's no getting around it. AEW versus NXT is the storyline, and it's probably going to be the story for the next umpteen years because, how do I put this nicely? It was an amazing night. It's the first time in probably 10 years or more that I was super freaking stoked to sit through television, wrestling television, not counting pay-per-views, not counting huge like surprise shows like a Raw 25th or something like that. But this is the first time that I was legitimately excited just to watch wrestling programming. It's been a long time. It's a wonderful feeling to have. And then I checked out SmackDown on Fox. We'll talk about that. I've got a lot of problems with SmackDown on Fox this week. Maybe I shouldn't talk about it because it's just going to be 100% negative. In fact, Hell in a Cell is tonight. Did you know that? Apparently not, because I don't even know if WWE knows it's tonight. Four matches. Are you fucking kidding me? You go out of your way to announce 15 fucking matches for fucking Clash of the Champions, and I'm dropping a lot of F-bombs, and I apologize, I don't care. But if you give 15 matches for Clash of the Champions in a pay-per-view environment that, in all honesty, was kind of crappy. If you give me 15 matches for a pay-per-view and the next month you can only give me four, you know where your priorities are. October 31st is Blood Money 2. Like they're going back to Saudi Arabia. We know Hogan's a captain of one team. We know Flair's a captain of another team. We know Brock and Kane Velasquez is happening. I don't give a shit. I will talk about that later. But I think we got to dive in on Wednesday nights. NXT kicked things off. I'm going to say this. I think I'm going to start with NXT. I did watch AEW live. So it's going to be easier for me to talk about that one than it will be for NXT. My reasoning for the win this week for AEW, and that's who's taking home week one. You can get pissed about it now, but I'll talk about that at the end of both these. I think both shows delivered. I think AEW and NXT was better than Raw and SmackDown. This is going to be a problem. I think this is going to be a major problem for the two big shows. Because SmackDown was on Fox, had this huge premiere, and it fucking sucked outside the first 15 minutes. Raw, it was all right. It's still Raw. I don't know what you're going to do to change it at this point. I think make it 2 hours would be a huge help. But then NXT and AEW Dynamite happened, and my God, what a night. NXT kicks off with Matt Riddle and Adam Cole, baby, for the NXT Championship. I love Adam Cole. There is no denying it. Cole, to me, comes across as, one, a great in-ring worker, and he's proved that multiple times. But two, I think he's a great heel. And he's going to make a wonderful run as champion, because I feel going into TakeOver War Games 3, he's in War Games. I think he should defend the title, but it just makes sense that that's probably where we're going. We're probably getting a War Games match with Undisputed again. Okay, makes sense. Let's do that. Whatever. They have all the gold. It's honest to God what makes sense. But man, Matt Riddle is a beast. And kicking out of the Panama Sunrise just blew my mind. But Adam Cole does retain after the match. And this is one of the big issues for me with NXT right now. Is there's not a lot of contenders for championships. The Women's Championship, the Tag Team Championship, the North American Championship. The North American probably is the easiest one to defend. But the NXT Championship, there's not a lot of names. Adam Cole can defend against Gargano, but you just did that for 3 takeovers in a row. You don't want to do it for another 15 takeovers. Velveteen Dream's is in the North American title picture right now. Roderick Strong's taking on Velveteen, so you're not gonna split up Undisputed just yet. So who's left? And then from the shadows emerges a demon. Finn Balor returns to NXT, and this caught me off guard. I did not, for the life of me, see this happening. And it's fantastic to see Finn Balor in NXT, because one, I think Finn was better utilized in NXT. There's a lot of guys on the main roster that need to go to NXT. I think would have a better showing. Because you don't have to use every wrestler every week. And I think AEW proved that this week. And I think NXT proved that this week. WWE, Raw, and SmackDown, not so much. But you don't have to be on every show to make an impact. And this is something that NXT has done very, very well. Finn Balor returning is absolutely massive. And one that I'm super stoked for. Because I want to see Finn Balor do the demon at War Games. Like, that just excites me as a wrestling fan. Or Finn Balor getting a shot at Adam Cole, even if it's just for a short time. I do have a lot of questions now, though. NXT's on USA. It's no longer a developmental brand. Let's just call it what it is. Does this mean this year at the Royal Rumble? Because that's the next big show. I think you're going to overlook Survivor Series. We're just going to pass Survivor Series. But does this mean at the Royal Rumble we're going to get 10 NXT guys in the Rumble? Because NXT's on USA now? Like, at this point, I think that's why TakeOver's not running the weekend of the Rumble. Is because I think NXT's going to be a major part of the Big Four. And I think it starts in January. If that's the case, wow, are we in for some treats. But that does open up a lot of doors. And I think it would be cool to see. And there's a possibility, I guess, if an NXT guy wins the Rumble, the NXT Championship main events WrestleMania. That'll never happen. But it's a possibility now. It would be interesting to see the NXT-style matches on the big stage. I would have loved to have seen what the fans' reaction would have been to Gargano Cole from last year's TakeOver, but great match between Cole and Matt Riddle. Finn Balor makes his triumphant return. Next up, we get the Velveteen Dream laying out a challenge for Roddy. That happens next week on Wednesday night. Mia Yim, Io Shirai put on a fucking classic. I'm telling you, women's wrestling is absolutely tremendous on Wednesday nights. I think AEW brought a great women's match, and I think that might have been the highlight of the show for me. And then the women's title match on here was really good. So 3 good women's matches Wednesday night. Gargano, Shane Thorne, it was a match. It was good. I don't know. Shane Thorne being a singles wrestler, I want to see him do more. But I do miss TM61 or the Mighty Don't Kneel. Then we got Pete Dunne, and we got the women's championship match. And look, Shayna Baszler does nothing for me now. I think it's just because there's no challengers. You fed all the women that I believe could have beaten her already. She has destroyed them. Now what? Do you bring someone down? Because that, and I don't know if it's, like I said earlier, with it not being a developmental, is a demotion, do you bring someone back to NXT? Because at this point, that's all you can do. But who? Like, I'm going to say this, and I think we're going to see Asuka in NXT again. And I think it's going to be Asuka Baszler at TakeOver. And I think that's where we're headed. I think we are heading to Shayna Baszler versus Asuka, because we've not seen Asuka on main TV programming for a while. That's just where I see it going. It's not a bad thing, and it would be great for Asuka to return to NXT, because I think she just flourished there better. I mean, her matches in NXT were so good. And I know that they killed her run on the main roster after having her tap out to Charlotte at WrestleMania. But next up, we got Pete Dunne and Danny Burch. Again, it was a good match. And then the main event, the Street Profits against the Undisputed Era tag team title match. I really like the Street Profits. I did not think going into a run for them, I would be a fan of the Street Profits. But here I am, loving everything they do. Like, I want more Street Profits. But of course, the Undisputed Era win and retain the tag team titles. Adam Cole comes out. We have like a huge celebration. And then the next challenger possibly for Adam Cole walks out, and it's the return of Tommaso Ciampa. We knew he was cleared. We didn't know when he was going to return. They did a 15-minute run over. Boy, does that not take me back. So I finished watching AEW Live, and instead of going to NXT at the beginning, I was like, I'm going to watch the 15-minute overrun. Like, that's how I started with NXT, was that overrun. And just seeing the end with Tommaso Ciampa come out, I went, okay, this is a really cool moment. But I still think there was something, how do I put this? Okay, the one thing, we'll talk about AEW, then I'll go back to NXT. I'll talk about why I think AEW won this week. Let's talk about the first episode of All Elite Wrestling on TNT. And the show kicks off with a mass amounts of pyro. It was nice seeing pyro, by the way, this week in all of wrestling. That was fantastic. It kicks off the first match. We get Cody Rhodes and Sammy Guevara. And I gotta tell you, the one cool part about seeing Cody Rhodes and Sammy kick off the show was it felt like a big match. I don't know, and I'm not saying that Matt Riddle and Adam Cole didn't, because it was an NXT championship match, but it just felt like it was this huge match, and it was. And I thought Cody and Sammy had a great back and forth match. Sammy Guevara is a chicken shit heel, and I am here for it. Great opener. Great way to kick off what your show is going to be. Cody gets the win with a roll up. And then post match, out comes a little bit of the bum day. Chris Jericho. They're beating. By the way, this is fantastic. So I was watching it on YouTube TV. Chris Jericho is beating down Cody Rhodes, and they're doing this picture in picture thing. And while Jericho's doing it, there's an ad for bubbly seltzer water. And I went, my God, that is the best timing I've ever seen in my life. So kudos to the marketing team of bubbly for that. Next up. And that beatdown went through an entire commercial break, which we are setting up for Full Gear on November 9th. MJF, Brandon Cutler. The match was a match. I enjoy both. I enjoy Brandon Cutler. I enjoy MJF. I do believe that the best part of this was the build, and Cutler's talking about D&D. MJF posting a tweeting that, like, he has muscles. He doesn't have time for games. Joe Manganiello tweets back. It was fantastic. The D&D world stood behind Brandon Cutler. I wanted an upset. I know it wasn't going to happen, but I wanted an upset. I enjoy Brandon Cutler a lot. I think he's going to be a great character in AEW, but my God, if MJF isn't just the guy, I can see MJF being AEW champion by this time next year. The dude is one of the best heels on the mic. 100%. Like, he just does not care. It's such a refreshing thing to see. Next up, Hangman Page versus Pac. Tremendous match. My God. Ended with a little bit of... Pac hits Hangman with a low blow. Then hits him with the black arrow. Really good match. I'm a little bummed out that this didn't happen on pay-per-view. But it does make things interesting because I think this is going to rematch. I think they're going to rematch this at Full Gear. So that, I think that's coming up. The AEW Women's Championship was behind Nyla Rose the entire freaking time. Riho gets the win. Nyla just attacks everyone. Michael Nakazawa. Riho after the match. Kenny Omega makes the save. So that's an interesting position. Which tells me at some point we're either setting up for a mixed tag in the future of Jon Moxley and Nyla Rose versus Riho and Kenny Omega. That's what it kind of screamed to me. I could be wrong, but that's what it came across as. And then the main event, the Elite, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks against Chris Jericho and Chris Jericho, Santana and Ortiz. Formerly known as LAX and Impact. Kenny gets ready to go for the Rise of the Terminator, gets surprised by Jon Moxley. They fight it all through the arena. He goes through a glass table. I popped for that. It was just the Young Bucks left with Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz. And Matt Jackson takes the Judas effect. And Jericho and the former LAX get the win. A really, really good main event, but I love the fact that they ended on a damn cliffhanger. Here's a problem I have with Raw and SmackDown. For the last few years. Not in general, just the last few years. I loved that it ended in such a way that you're like, oh fuck, I have to turn in next week. Because that's exactly what AEW did. At the end of the night... Jericho and Santana and Ortiz are beating down the Young Bucks. Out comes Cody Rhodes to make the save. Then out comes Sammy Guevara. Then out comes Dustin. And then through the crowd comes Jake Hager, formerly known as Jack Swagger in WWE. And I never cared about him in WWE, but in one fell swoop, they made him look like a badass. And here's... I just never enjoyed the Jack Swagger character. Never did. I don't think I ever would have. I know he got a world title run, but I was just so indifferent. So indifferent towards him. He made a really good impression on a lot of people in the AEW debut. So here's why I'm picking AEW. This is kind of a weird statement to make, but you're going to understand where I come from. If you watched AEW first and then watched NXT, you're going to pick AEW. And my reasoning is for something that I think NXT is going to have to change. I know that a lot of fans probably don't want this to happen. And I'm with you because I think NXT has made... NXT leaving where they are is kind of a sad moment, but I'm going to be honest with you. NXT has to leave Full Sail. And it's not because Full Sail is a bad host. It's just because you're going up against the show now that, yes, may have not had 14,000 people in the building. Compared to like 500 at NXT. And that's all fine and good. Like when NXT was running the last couple weeks, that's great. But with NXT running against it, you flip back and forth. NXT looked cheap. And this is not a knock on NXT at all, because it did. It, honest to God, when you go from the production of what AEW did to what NXT is doing, it's a 180, and it reminded me a lot of back in the day, because this is the biggest issue I had. I thought the announcing for both shows, Mauro Ranallo was on his damn A game. It was awesome to see Tony Schiavone back on the commentary desk. He brought it. He was a one thing that's been missing is the cohesiveness between Jim Ross and Excalibur, and Alex Marvez couldn't do it. Rude Boy was decent. I liked Rude Boy, or Golden Boy. Golden Boy was really good at it, but I don't know if it would have worked for television that well. But when Tony Schiavone came on the team, it was the perfect bridge between Jim Ross and Excalibur. Taking that out, Mauro Ranallo killed it. Beth Phoenix was really great on commentary. Nigel McGuinness was really good. This really came down to presentation, and if this is my big gripe, this is a really crappy gripe, but I get it. So, like I was saying, NXT, and this is the best analogy I have. I want you to remember back to WWF Raw back in 1997, the night that Shawn lost his smile. Ring of Honor runs this venue, and I think it's in, I want to say it's Baltimore. I know that's not right, but it's this really small venue. I can't think. It's the night that Shawn lost his smile. Shawn Michaels lost his smile, and it's one of those like moments that we will always make fun of in wrestling history. But on that night, in that venue, and I, like I said, I cannot remember for the life of me where that is. But Ring of Honor ran Best in the World there the night that Cody won the Ring of Honor World Championship. I think it was 2017. So, Lowell, Massachusetts. Lowell. Okay, so here's the problem with that venue. It's really small. It is really, 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 really small. Lowell Memorial Auditorium. It holds about 3,000 people. Now, at the same time, WCW is running full arenas and even stadiums. There was a huge difference in presentation, and that was before they started running arenas every Monday night. And that being said, I think that was one of the big issues that hurt WWF early on in the Monday Night Wars. Because with WWF had a better presentation. Just call it now. There for a long time. There's a reason why WWF always looked better than WCW. But when Nitro happened, Nitro just looked polished. It looked like the best wrestling show you have never seen, and that's kind of what's going on Wednesday nights. AEW came out all cylinders, firing, and looked absolutely tremendous on television. And that was one of the things that I went, okay, so here's this show that looks fantastic. And NXT looks like it's in a sound studio, which, don't get me wrong, is fine, but it's not if you're going to go up against another show. So I think NXT has to go on the road. You don't have to run the biggest arenas, but you have to run arenas. That's going to be an issue moving forward for the NXT brand, I think. Once they move out, if they do it, I know that they are slated to stay in Full Sail until January. I think NXT has to go on the road for TV. I think it's just going to be, I think it has to be, we have to take the show out, because It reminds me a lot of Impact back in the day, which Impact was, I thought Impact was a better wrestling program than WWE, but it looked cheap. And I don't want to make that comparison, but I know they're both in Orlando. I really want NXT to keep, I love NXT. I think NXT has been one of the best shows I've ever been to. Every time we go to an NXT show, it's always happy. So I'm hoping that this changes. I'm hoping they figure that out and ease towards a different direction and take it on the road. Raw premiered this week. They had a new set. It looked like a half pipe. Folks, that's about it for Raw. Lana kissed Bobby Lashley. Okay. Nah. We got Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair. I thought the Raw set looked cool. Let's talk about SmackDown, though. So we get to this point. Friday night, they do this blue carpet premiere, which was fantastic. Like, it reminded me, like, this seemed bigger than any other wrestling show I have ever seen in my life. This seemed like WrestleMania at this point. They're doing this blue carpet premiere. They're bringing out all the stars. They're bringing out all the legends. They're doing interviews. They're talking. They're talking about the future of the company. They're talking about the future of WWE. They're talking about WWE on Fox. This is great. And then the show started. And it starts, of course, with Becky Lynch, and then Baron Corbin comes out. Let's talk about SmackDown set first. I will never. I love wrestling. I love talking about it. I love writing about it. I will never be a news reporter that will just, if I ever get a source, which I don't want, but if I ever become a wrestling like reporter, I am never officially going to write anything until the day of, until about 10 minutes before I know. Because god dang, there was a lot of people hoping, because some jackass reporter who's wrong 90% of the time. Hey, by the way, for anybody who does not know how wrestling news works, you get told something, you write about it, 75% of the time it's wrong. That's about how wrestling news works. It was, everyone was expecting to see the fist. The fist from the attitude, well, I guess the fist from the Ruthless Aggression era. Look, I love that SmackDown set. The mirrors and everything, it looked great. We are past that. That's just not going to work today. Sorry. That set will never look good in high definition. There is a reason that set was not around when they switched to high def. Not saying it's a bad set, just throwing that out there. Now, so we get to SmackDown, and the new set looks great. I think it would have been a great Survivor Series 99 wrestling set. That's the one with the hexagon, for anybody who does not remember. That's the one where the Big Show won the World Heavyweight Championship. It's a great looking set. We get Vince and Stephanie come out, but then Becky Lynch comes out. Baron Corbin comes out. And of course, there's only one other person who's going to come out, because they teased it, I think, for the last 45 minutes. And it's The Rock. And The Rock kicks off SmackDown, cuts a promo with Becky Lynch and Baron Corbin, beats down Baron Corbin with Becky Lynch. We have a cool moment. That's a cool way for SmackDown to start. Then we get the Four Horsewomen tag match. The first SmackDown, the first match in the Fox history of SmackDown is the Four Horsewomen in a tag match. And I was here for it. I love the Four Horsewomen. I love women's wrestling. The tag match was good. And then I feel we got The Fiend, or we got Seth Rollins against Shinsuke. The Fiend shows up. Of course, we're going to, you know, we're building towards Hell in a Cell. Firefly Funhouse ended up on Fox. That blows my mind. Eight-man tag. We had some stuff happen. Okay. Let's talk about the ending. I knew Brock was going to win. It just... Kofi Kingston has had one of the best face title runs in the last 20 years. He was book strong. He was a great world heavyweight champion, but we all know that it has to come to an end eventually. I just wish it would have been anyone else other than Brock Lesnar, but I understand because Fox, Brock's going to be the name for Fox, and I get this. Now comes my big ass complaint. We as fans, we want wrestling to seem competitive. I think there are times where matches call for a squash and it's okay. Like, we're not going to complain about it so much. But the idea, and AEW is doing this, and is to treat wrestling as if it's a sport. And in sport, squashes are going to happen. A lot. I just wish that that's not how the reign of Kofi Kingston came to an end. Because I've got this eerie feeling we're leaning towards Roman Brock at Mania again. And I don't want that at all. Because once you put the championship on Brock Lesnar, you have backed yourself into a corner. Because then there are no contenders. You have to go to one of the three people that beat Brock Lesnar. It's either the Undertaker, Roman Reigns, or Seth Rollins. Now you're in a hole. So Kofi Kingston loses in about 10 seconds, and Brock Lesnar is the WWE champion. I look at my watch to see that there's still 5 minutes left of this show, which means something is happening. Excuse me. Which means something is happening. And lo and behold, Rey Mysterio's music hits. Now, back on Raw Monday, Brock Lesnar attacked Rey Mysterio before his Universal title match and even beat down his son Dominic. So Rey Mysterio comes out with his arm in a sling and someone standing next to him. I thought it was Dominic because it was such a long camera shot that I thought it was Dominic. And then we find out it's Cain Velasquez. One of the only, like, he beat Brock Lesnar for the world championship in UFC, the heavyweight title in UFC. Cain has been wrestling for the last couple of months in AAA. There is a lot of talk about Cain Velasquez in the wrestling world right now. I'm going to say something very terrible, though. In the two people that they built that were not in the wrestling world, the situation with Cain Velasquez, okay, I at least get it. Cain Brock is a money match, and you're going to fucking do it in Saudi Arabia, aren't you? I've already got that feeling. I think the news story's out there. I don't want that, but that's probably where the match is happening. Kane's not signed to a WWE contract, so I don't think they're going to put the championship on him. I could be wrong. But then, the Braun Strowman-Tyson Fury thing. I have no idea. Like, I'm a sports fan. I love the shit out of some sports. Boxing, however, has not been relevant in the last 10 years, with the exception of maybe four fights. Holyfield-Pacquiao, Triple G-Canelo. Like, there's a few that will be here and there. I don't want to count Mayweather. I can't even think of his name now. The MMA boxer fight. I can see his face too, and that is going to drive me nuts. Boxing has not been Conor McGregor. The Mayweather-McGregor fight is probably, I'm not going to count that. But for boxing, it's not been a great couple of, it's not been a good decade. It's not been a good last 20 years. Because the rise of MMA killed boxing. And I think a lot of the fans that were fans of boxing moved over to MMA because it was faster, or you could get hurt more. There's a lot more physicality in MMA compared to boxing. And I get that. So here's Tyson Fury, who I have no idea who he is. I vaguely know he's a champion, but I've never seen a fight. I know nothing. I don't know if it's just me. And I think he'll do good. Like, if they do the match, if they somehow pull a trigger and they do a match with Braun Strowman, he'll be great in it, because boxing, like Mayweather Big Show, was fine. These guys are the same size. It'll be fine. I think, honestly, the last heavyweight boxer I knew of was Klitschko. This does nothing for me as a wrestling fan. Neither does Brock Velasquez, because I'm not an MMA guy. So I remember watching the fight, but I left MMA in like 2006. Like, I just wasn't a fan. I'm not a fan anymore, I should say. I was a fan for a little bit and got into it, ordered pay-per-views, and then the class that I enjoyed was starting to fade away and I just didn't care. This match, again, does nothing for me. So what they built on SmackDown, I know, is going for a different type of fan. However, is that enough to drag in the casual fan? And honestly, I don't know. Because Tyson Fury and Cain Velasquez, to me, seems to be the bigger coup here. Seems to be the bigger get, for at least if they're just doing a one-off with both. Because Cain Velasquez is wrestling, and he is going to sign with a company. I don't know what company. It could be WWE. I assumed it was going to be All Elite, but apparently I am wrong there. But because Cain Velasquez teamed with Cody at Triple Mania. There's a lot going on in the wrestling world with this, but I thought SmackDown was a drizzling pile of shit, though. And maybe because it just seemed... you start with The Rock, you start with a bang, and then it just seemed like it crescendoed at the beginning. And that sucks. Because once you hit the peak at the top of your show, it's really hard to come back from that. And that is a lot of the problem with the Attitude Era wrestling. Because we hit the peak at the beginning, and then it just snowballs into a mofo. A lot of Nitros were like that for a while, where it was just... you had your really good moment at the beginning of the show, and then it would just end on an NWO beatdown. Like, you would go from this really good show to nothing, and that's kind of what SmackDown felt like on Friday. Sorry. Ragweed's really high right now, and my allergies are kicking my ass and hitting me with a steel folding chair. So the fact that this is happening today is a miracle. Yeah, so it was a good... I thought the end of SmackDown, I think Kofi deserves better. I'm not happy with the way they treated Kofi at the end. And I get it. It's a real sports presentation now. It's on Fox. Let's go that way. But Kofi carried the ball really, 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 really well. And I think Kofi and Daniel Bryan gave a WrestleMania moment that is on par with Daniel Bryan's WrestleMania 34 moment or 30 moment. Like, I thought Kofi Kingston winning the WWE Championship at WrestleMania may go down as one of the biggest moments in WrestleMania history. Because, again, that show fucking collapsed after that. That's how big that moment was. So, kind of moving forward, I thought SmackDown's got a lot to do. It wasn't a great show. It probably will get better. But the ratings are in for all of it. SmackDown had almost, I think, over 4 million, or close to 4 million. Without Dish and Sling, it probably would be 4 million, since I got that back today. AEW drew 1.4. That's a massive premiere. Plus, to add to that, to anybody who does not know, Deadline reported that is the biggest, I think it's Deadline, or Deadspin. Might be Deadline. Reported that is TNT's biggest premiere in 5 years. Damn. NXT drew 800,000. And of course, AEW wins the war on Wednesday night. I think this week overall, the best show was AEW, then NXT, and then Raw and SmackDown is so far behind it, it's not even funny. I think one show that everybody's sleeping on that you kind of need to give a chance again is Impact, and it just moved to Access, and I'm telling you, Impact is on fire. That is going to be a really interesting to see where I think Impact ends up, because I said this on the last time we recorded. I think Impact is now the new Ring of Honor. ROH did 800 buys. That's it. 800 buys for Death Before Dishonor. One of their big shows. That's not a good look for Ring of Honor. This is not a good time for Ring of Honor. Before we get into Hell in a Cell, I gotta bring this up. I know Matt Taven just re-signed. I know a lot of people do not care for Taven. I know a lot of people do not view him as the guy to carry the company. And I think I think one of the highlights of my Ring of Honor show was Matt Taven and the Kingdom. We're going to discuss something else, though, because Ring of Honor had the opportunity and did not seize on it. And I think this is where the issue lies. Once the Elite left Ring of Honor, and this is not a knock on anyone there, and I mean, Marty's still there, but they never pulled the trigger on Marty. And they never will. Once the Elite left, and New Japan started running their own shows, because you can tell New Japan was not happy with ROH at Madison Square Garden. You could just feel it. But after they started running their own shows, there's just something lacking with Ring of Honor. And it has nothing to do with the in-ring product, because it's fine. It's just there's not Marty and Flip are the two stars that were left out of the BTE era of Ring of Honor. And I think that's the best way to explain it. I honestly don't know if Ring of Honor could sign someone today, right now, that's out there that could turn around Ring of Honor in the way that the Elite helped Ring of Honor. Because everybody who was there, Cody, the Young Bucks, Hangman, SoCal Uncensored, which to me I feel might have been the bigger loss even than the Young Bucks and Cody. Because Daniels was a former ROH champion. There's just something missing about the Ring of Honor product. And I don't know what it is. Ring of Honor usually somehow will bounce back from it, but right now, I don't know if they will. We could be looking towards the end of ROH. I don't want that to happen. I love Ring of Honor. I don't want to see any of those guys and gals out of jobs. I don't. But, seeing the pay-per-view buys for the last show and knowing they're not putting as many butts in the seats as they used to breaks me, because you go from like this tremendous show, or like you go from all of these names to not having any of them left. Ooh. They even took a ref. I mean, shit. There's a lot there. And I don't think New Japan's pulling as many people in the US now. And it's kind of one of those things that makes you go, well, and when I think the big news, I got to talk about this too. Minoru Suzuki is leaving New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's going to sign somewhere. There's no doubt. He is going to sign somewhere. And part of me thinks it's going to be an American promotion. Whether it's All Elite, whether it's WWE, whether it's New Chip, or whether it's Ring of Honor, which I don't think it will be. there's some thought there that I we're going to see Minoru Suzuki, the head of Suzuki-gun, show up somewhere. And if it's all Elite, man alive, I think New Japan's getting ready to go through some growing pains. I think we're going to see a mass exodus of a lot of guys there, because there's this rumor going around that there's a lot of people unhappy at New Japan. If one of those guys happens to be Kazuchika Okada, holy crap. And there's a lot of history between Okada and the Young Bucks, because the Young Bucks, Okada is the reason the Young Bucks went to New Japan Pro Wrestling during their time in TNA, because they gave Okada the Kato gimmick from the Green Lantern or Green Hornet. Just letting everyone know, that's a possibility that you could see one of those huge New Japan names in All Elite. This is a weird time. And I said this on the last episode, and maybe a couple before that, that I think the hardest hit's going to be the independent scene. Or is not the independents, but is these promotions that are on the cusp. Because NWA just filmed Power. They're doing a weekly studio show, and I can't wait to see that, because the look of that is phenomenal. But that's something else too, because now you've got NWA, you've got WWE producing three shows on you know in prime time on major networks. You've got All Elite, you've got Major League Wrestling, you've got Impact. GCW is kind of the head of the independents right now. I think GCW is doing better than Ring of Honor. So there's so much good wrestling out there. It's not hard to get a hold of anymore. There's no excuse. If you can't find something you enjoy now, you're not going to find something. Let's talk Hell in a Cell. Well, this is going to suck. That pretty much sums it up. Three matches. I'm going to make sure that there has not been any more announced. Four fucking matches. What's the point of having a pay-per-view when you only have four fucking matches? This is it. This show is supposed to run 4 hours. How in the hell is that going to work? Because I'm pretty sure it's not gonna work. I said this earlier, I believe this show has got some feels of December to Dismember. I'm cool with the Fiend. I'm cool with the character. The show is sponsored by WWE 2K20, and I think that's probably very fitting. And I'll tell you why, because the WWE games suck dick. This year looks like it's just a rehash of last year with some creepy arenas. I will probably buy it because I'm dumb, because I want to play as Tommaso Ciampa again, but I will figure this out. Braun Strowman and Tyson Fury are being set in stone, possibly trying to get this to happen for Crown Jewel or Blood Money too. All right, let's talk about it. Tonight, Hell in a Cell. Me. Four matches. Four freaking matches. On a show that's supposed to last 4 hours. So I guess we're getting a 60-minute marathon from all four matches. Charlotte Flair goes up against Bayley for the SmackDown Women's Championship as she seeks her 10th championship reign. I figure Charlotte wins here. I think Charlotte takes it and is the head of SmackDown. The tag match. There's not much to talk about here, people. The tag match, Roman Reigns, Daniel Bryan takes on the Bearded Brothers of Eric Rowan and Luke Harper. I think Daniel Bryan turns and we get a staple of beards. All right. That sums it up. I really don't know where to go with that. I don't care about anything tonight with the exception of two matches. Well, I guess I'm 50% of the show. So Hell in a Cell, Becky Lynch defends the Raw Women's Championship against Sasha Banks. I'm all for this. I think this match is going to be really good. I enjoy both women. I enjoy the fact that they're putting them in the Hell in the Cell, and I swear to God, if the cage is red, I'm punching somebody. Go back to metal, please. Hell, bring back the SmackDown fist. That's... Also want to know what the pay-per-view entrances are going to look like, because here's an opportunity. Talk about that in a minute. Yeah, I'm going to say that Becky wins. This also could be setting up what I think could be the start of the Four Horsewomen versus Four Horsewomen feud. I said, my wife looks at me, Ashley looks at me during SmackDown and goes, this is the perfect opportunity to set up Ronda Rousey, Shafir, Duke, and Baszler against the Four Horsewomen of WWE. And she was right. I mean, you have this tag match with all four women there. This is the perfect opportunity. Freaking on Fox, Ronda Rousey's return would have been massive. We didn't get it. She's going to come back. I think Ronda Rousey wins the Royal Rumble too. I think we get Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch, one-on-one at WrestleMania. I think Ronda gets her win back, but I don't know here. I think Becky Lynch wins, but I also could see this going Sasha's favor. This is going to be close. I'm going to pick Becky, but it's kind of one of those weird matches that I think could be really, really fun. It's just damning because at this point, you really have no idea what's going to happen after the show because the draft happens next Friday. SmackDown, the draft starts. We don't know who's going where. I figure it's going to switch. I think the B show is now going to be Raw 100% because Fox is going to have more eyes on the product. And then the main event for the WWE Universal Championship, Seth Rollins defends against The Fiend, Bray Wyatt. Okay, so there's only two ways you can end this match. You either have a no contest or Bray wins because you can't have Seth pin The Fiend. You just can't. How in the hell have you put yourself in this position? I think it's going to be a no contest. I think something will happen and The Fiend, I just think something will happen here and we get a no contest between the two. And that's going to suck because no contest in Hell in a Cell is fucking stupid. But that's where we are. We're going to get a no contest in a Hell in a Cell match. Because if not, Fiend has to walk out. Universal Champion. And at this point, I think it's a secondary championship again. So, because Brock's the big champ. Brock's at the WWE Championship, which means the WWE Championship now takes precedent over everything else, which it should. So Seth being Universal Champion and head of Raw is going to be Jack Squat. You can get The Fiend here. You can get a win for The Fiend. So I think it's a no contest. Here's something else, too. This is an opportunity for WWE to do something they've not done in a long time. We have a new Raw set. We have a new SmackDown set. For the love of tits, here's an opportunity for you, WWE. Two new sets for pay-per-views. For the love of shit. I think every fan around the world would be super stoked if there was a setup for Hell in a Cell that was not the same as a Raw set or a SmackDown set. Just throwing that out there. I think we'd all be pretty happy about it. You could give us the fucking entrance with the fucking cage in front of it like you did a few years ago. We'd be super stoked. There's an opportunity. Please take it. Hell in a Cell tonight. That's it. We have nothing else to preview on Hell in a Cell. Wow. I'm going to check Twitter. Going to make sure there's nothing else that's been announced. Great week, though, for pro wrestling. WWE on Fox. I mean, we got AEW premiering this week after, 10 months? So a lot of good stuff going down this week. A lot of good stuff. Cody Rhodes tweeted asking for official feedback for the first show. And that's pretty awesome. WWE's tweeting Hell in a Cell stuff, and we still know nothing. Yeah, I'm a little weirded out by this match card, being that there's only four announced matches, because now you really got to do something. Do you pull out a crazy card tomorrow or tonight here at Hell in a Cell? Because you kind of have to, right? But yeah, we're going into Hell in a Cell tonight. Enjoy what could be either the worst pay-per-view of the year or a surprise sleeper hit, because that's the only way those two work out. Oh, that's right. Last year we had Brock Lesnar attack during the Hell in the Cell main event with Seth and or with Roman and with Roman and Braun Strowman. Oh God, Hell in a Cell is gonna suck, isn't it? All right, guys, that's gonna wrap up this edition of SNS. We are back next week. We're gonna make the show a little bit more fun once we get things figured out and who's gonna be sitting in the chair in front of me. I just want everyone to know, too, Phil texted me after AEW went, "That's the most fun I've had as a wrestling fan since the Attitude Era." So, kudos to you, All Elite. We have a long night ahead of us, I feel. So, guys, gals, until next week, if you're going to turn heel on your friends, make sure they're as gullible as Sting. We will see you next time. Good night, everybody.